To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. 2 weeks ago, Oprah Winfrey canceled her anniversary program on the Columbine High School murders. And in studio, we have the president of American Right to Life and the father of Daniel Rohrbaugh, Brian Rohrbaugh. Brian, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, thanks for having me.
Could we talk, Brian, about why Oprah canceled the program? And I bet you there are a lot of people listening who are unfamiliar with the extraordinary effort to get to the truth of what happened before Columbine and after that really changes the nature of the whole tragedy.
Sure, we can talk about all of that. First of all, with the Oprah show, a few days before this was to go on the air, their producer called me and she asked me to send new pictures of Dan so they could use them in a special anniversary session that was going to honor the victims. And so I asked her who's going to be on, and she was hesitant to tell me. And it is the author of a new book, and then they were going to have on police officer Kate Batten, who was the lead investigator in the Columbine investigation. And they were going to have an FBI agent on, Agent Fuselier. And I told the producer, this is a really bad idea. Why don't you let me come on and do the show with you, and I will keep your audience from being lied to from these people.
Wow. And that's quite an accusation, Brian. But it turns out there's a grand jury report. There are specific opportunities before the murders that were lost. And after the murders, there were lies told about what Jefferson County Sheriff's Department knew, what they did not do. And so I think we have to explain some of that to the audience so they could understand that powerful claim that you made to Oprah's producers.
Well, yeah, and let me go on with this, because I also offered her the recordings that I had made of Officer Kate Batten and another officer by the name of Randy West. These recordings are of the meeting when they told us what happened to my son. And after that meeting, we spent several years uncovering evidence, going to court over and over again, requesting open records, and ultimately securing the release of over 52,000 documents. Each of those I've studied. But here's the issue. When they told me what happened to my son, they absolutely knew they were lying, and we can prove that based on the evidence. And there's no question about it, but let me give you a few examples. Kate Batten, in court, in our first open records case, testified that there were only 13,000 pages of the entire investigation. After 5 years, we were over 52,000 that had been released. So that was a lie. Secondly, we asked for any information that could have been used in the preparation of a search warrant. Under oath, in court.
A search warrant against who?
Against either of these two murderers that had been drafted in the year leading up to this crime.
So before Columbine, the murders, you had reason to believe that Jefferson County Sheriff's Department was processing an application for a search warrant. You asked.
We had reason to believe, and on very good authority, that a search warrant had actually been drafted and that Jefferson County absolutely knew the danger that Klebold and Harris posed to the community and to that school. And we asked Kate Batten specifically about a search warrant or any materials used in the preparation of a search warrant, and she said there wasn't one. About 2 years after Columbine, we secured the release publicly of that very document. And get this, the officer who prepared all the information that led to the drafting of the search warrant was none other than Kate Batten.
Kate?
She did 100% of the documentation needed to carry this search warrant to a judge and get it acted upon. And let me tell you what was in that information, because this is critical to understand.
And for the audience's sake, Kate Batten is one of the few people Oprah had on this anniversary show. Basically, here are the heroes of Columbine, and it was going to be a puff piece for the false story, the cover-up of Columbine, which is now totally exposed. It has been confirmed. These are not allegations any longer. They're now proven. This is all proven. And Oprah's producers did not know. I'm thankful they took heed to your warning and other parents who warned them.
I am too. And so, you know, that search warrant showed that Jefferson County had discovered pipe bombs, that they had linked the information with the pipe bombs. These were exploded pipe bombs they actually recovered. They had linked what was written on those pipe bombs to the web postings of Klebold and Harris. In other words, they absolutely knew they made these because these guys wrote stories about where they set off the bombs, what type of explosion they got, all of that. And this was part of this information to draft a search warrant. They factually knew they were building pipe bombs. They knew they were testing pipe bombs. They had recovered the evidence, and they had 100% proof that they were linked to Klebold and Harris.
Were there death threats that were made known in advance or no?
Absolutely. Randy and Judy Brown had five times filed police reports indicating the danger of Klebold and Harris.
Five times prior
to these murders, and those included death threats against their son, Brooks Brown. And
if there were any heroes in the Columbine story, wouldn't you say that the Brown family, they are among the few that went to Herculean efforts to try to prevent this in advance?
I would say that. And after Columbine, Randy Brown came out publicly when Jeffco was saying they didn't have any warning. And he said, "What do you mean you didn't have any warning? I gave you the warning." And they called him a liar, said that there weren't reports from him. And in fact, they implicated his son as being one of the criminals involved in the Columbine massacre. And this is really interesting because I'm sure it was to make him shut up.
Right.
They decided to publicly say that his son
was a suspect. I remember
that
press
he was
conference.
Involved with this. Well, I remember it because I was on a CNN roundtable for 2 hours, and the DA was sitting on one side of me and the sheriff on the other, and they talked about Brooks Brown being involved, not a suspect. They talked about him being involved on live national TV, and
And they lied, and they were lying, and the lies continued for months that we had no knowledge, we had no warning, there was no alleged search warrant application filled out. These were lies, and they knew they were lying. It's not as though this were an afterthought or they had forgotten. During the crimes, it seems like the sheriff's department had every reason to believe this was the murderers. They knew who it was.
Oh, they absolutely knew. And in fact, this is something else that's interesting. The only two families who either called directly, either a father called directly or an attorney on behalf of the father, there were only two families who called the police and said, "My son is involved and I want to help be a negotiator to somehow bring an end to this."
Mm.
And that was the Klebold and Harris family.
Mm.
So the only two parents in a school of 2,000 who called the sheriff and called almost immediately after the shooting started were these two. So this idea that there wasn't a lot of information in the homes, in the police department, or in that school, that is a blatant lie. And this book and this author
that
was trying
was
to promote
having
this.
None.
And I have to give a tremendous amount of credit to Oprah because I offered them my recordings and the documents that link to that recording to prove what I'm saying is true.
Mm.
I offered them that. I offered to come on the show and rebut with the undeniable evidence what lies were going to be told.
Mm-hmm.
And other parents called as well. And to their credit, the morning of the 20th, when this show was going to air, for the first time in the history of the Oprah show, she pulled the plug on the show.
Wow.
And then just today, this morning, I got a call from the producer telling me the decision has been made that this show will never air.
May 4th, 2009.
Yeah. And this is...
And is this the same producer that you spoke to and urged to not air this program?
Yes, it is. It's absolutely the same producer. And so I'm thankful that Oprah did this. And, you know, first of all, the evidence is overwhelming that these people are nothing short of liars. That's factual. Mm. But beyond that, Oprah has recognized that the families who lost children have been seriously hurt by the things that have been said, written about, these false statements. And I think she took that into consideration. I mean, I think beyond any shadow of a doubt, Oprah recognizes the loss of these kids as being really, really significant, can't be overstated, and also the harm to the families. And it's interesting to me that she has such a disconnect between these children who have been born and are living in our society,
mm-hmm.
and those children in the womb who have the exact same right to life,
oh my.
God-given right to life. But so many in society do have that disconnect. But in any event, to her credit, she pulled the show, and I think it is specifically because, first, concern for the families, but more importantly, the absolute ironclad proof that Kate Batten is nothing but a liar. And then let me tell you about Fuselier, Agent Fuselier.
Okay, Duane Fuselier with the FBI.
Right.
And then also Frank DeAngelis was going to be on this program.
We'll get to Frank, too.
It astounds me. I'm sure, because she canceled the program, Brian, I am sure she didn't go out to intentionally pick the people whose word you can trust the least. That wasn't her goal. But it seems like in our system, in the media, the government, it's like the worst factors tend to rise to the top. The worst end up with the limelight getting to spin wickedness as though it were goodness. So how about the FBI agent? I know his son was a Columbine student.
Yeah, well, his son, who happened to be in the video classes with Klebold and Harris, and some of the audience will remember the violent gun videos of them shooting sawed-off shotguns and at trees and making comments like, imagine if that was someone's head.
Right.
They made many, many violent videos. Well, the son of Agent Fuselier made a video of blowing up Columbine High School.
Columbine High School. This is
literally blowing up the school. This, again, shown in the video class, just like the Klebold and Harris videos. You know, the school would later lie and say, oh, we didn't know about these. That's not true. They were shown in the video class. They were graded. Make no mistake, this stuff was part of the school. Everyone knew about it. Well, anyhow,
Brian, I got to ask.
Okay.
When Jefferson County Sheriff's Department and the school say we wish there were warning signs, there were neon billboards flashing that these two guys have made death threats, they're making pipe bombs, they're fantasizing murder, destruction, and there was a search warrant application. Jefferson County Sheriff's Department was grossly negligent. And not just executing that, they just dropped it for still inexplicable reason.
And you'll remember that you and I and Randy Brown did a series of shows where we played these recordings I have, and we talked through them. And the audience might want to go back in the archives and look those up. Maybe we could link them to this show.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But
recordings of the Columbine tragedy.
That's right. And so there was a mountainside of warning signs for a year and a half leading up to Columbine, and these people lied about them, but they were there. But anyhow, this FBI agent's son made this video of blowing up the school, and he was allowed to continue working in the investigation, even though any reasonable person would conclude his sole interest was going to be to make sure that his son wasn't implicated. Even though the sheriff was saying Brooks Brown was involved without any evidence, this FBI's son, this agent's son, who made this video of blowing up Columbine High School, who interacted with Klebold and Harris. This guy was left as an investigator, and now he was going to go on the Oprah show to tell the world what happened at Columbine. I wonder, since he's a profiler, if he'd like to release the profile that was done of his son. And, of course, you and I both know one wasn't done, but it sure should have been.
So that here's an FBI special agent, Dwayne Fuselier, and he is the chief investigator for the FBI of Columbine. Is that right?
I'm not sure you would say it that way because there's so many people. But he played an instrumental role, and certainly he was feeding this author information.
Yeah, and 10
years after year.
And 10 years later, he's the one from the FBI on this Oprah show, and he has this obvious conflict of interest that he should have been taken off the case, you would think, because of his son being in the same video class as the murderers and making a video of the school being blown up.
Yeah, it's my understanding he made that video with them. Of the school being blown up.
And so at least there's a conflict of interest. And was this FBI agent, Dwayne Fuselier, was he involved in rebuking Jefferson County for covering up their knowledge in advance? Did he do any of that?
No, he didn't do any of that. And furthermore, let's consider one other thing. The investigation surrounding my son's death was actually handled by the FBI. And it has been proven to be a blatant, intentional lie. Now, is that because the FBI intentionally wrote it, or because the evidence was gathered so sloppy, or because they worked with Kate Batten to paint a story that they wanted to tell the public because it would meet their timeline? Which, by the way, the timeline they put out is utterly false.
Now, Brian, some people listening will recall in the early months and years after Columbine, the story about an officer from Arapahoe County, Taylor,
right,
who had told you and your family that he saw Danny being murdered, and later he publicly denied that. The sheriff eventually fired him.
Well, here's what happened. The day after my son was murdered, he came to my home, and he told me this story. And then for 2.5 years, he maintained the story. And interestingly enough, his account, which I recorded, confirmed what we were finding in the evidence, while the Jefferson County account was being disproved by the evidence every time we got something released. So this guy for 2.5 years told me he witnessed my son's death. And then when his name became publicly, he stood up and called me a liar and said he never said those things.
Oh, my.
Needless to say, I played the recording, and the proof was that he did tell me these things. And keep this in mind. There were two police officers who claimed they witnessed my son alive, one by the name of Annette Walker, whose name is now Annette Smoker. She was a Jefferson County sheriff who told this lie that Dan was holding a door open when he was shot. Now, I say that's a lie. I knew it was a lie when I first heard it. But if you Google my son's name, you'll see this story all over the internet. It was never true. It wasn't true when she said it. But she was one police officer who claimed she saw my son alive. But hers was an obvious fabrication. And the very first interview I ever did, which was on Good Morning America, a live interview, I even acknowledged that I didn't believe that story because it sounded so ridiculous.
And the story made Danny out to be a hero, and not that he isn't a hero, but when you're trying to get to the truth, you don't want people to lie to you to make you feel good.
No, you don't. And there was no reason to try to extend beyond the value my son represented in this world. That didn't need to be exaggerated. And yet this was done with every one of the children. There was some lie told about the kids who were killed, each and every one of them, in this effort to try to make them somehow bigger than life.
So Officer Taylor from Arapahoe County, what? Jim Taylor, Officer Taylor, we know he lied because he came out and said he had never told you that when he maintained this for over 2 years to your family. And then you played the audio of him telling you, and I believe it was within 24 hours, the sheriff fired him.
You know, it's interesting about that. They did an internal affairs investigation, and I have that complete investigation. Every recording, every note, everything, which for those of you familiar with law enforcement, you'll realize that these investigations are never, ever released. Mm-hmm. But I have 100% of the information from that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Taylor, I had known for about 20 years prior to this. He was a friend of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that some cop showed up at my home and said this story.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyhow, that's all documented. Dan's death was investigated by El Paso County, their sheriff's department, who came up with a plausible conclusion as to what happened to Dan.
Right.
And I say it's plausible because the evidence gathered, first of all, Jefferson County only collected one of the three bullets. Then in their report, they said that bullet was positively fired by Klebold.
Mm.
In reality, the bullet, the CBI tested it twice and could never confirm that it came from any of the guns tested.
Mm.
And so here you have a bullet from an unidentified weapon, according to CBI, but Jeffco saying it came from another weapon, which it positively didn't come from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then in the El Paso County investigation, they sent it to the magic lab, that is the lab that did the Kennedy bullet.
Mm.
And I call it magic lab facetiously.
Yeah.
And it came back as a textbook match to Harris's gun.
While the Colorado Bureau of Investigation
tested
said it
twice,
couldn't be matched to any.
Right, and said it absolutely couldn't be. And here it comes back as a textbook match that you, I, or anyone else could have looked at the photos and said, oh, yeah, it had to come from that gun.
Mm.
So there are some questions, but I have said after the El Paso County investigation and for all these years that they came up with a plausible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
In which Eric Harris may have fired the three shots that killed my son.
Mm.
But regardless, here we have the Oprah show that was going to do a show promoting a book that is riddled with lies. And I mean nothing short of lies. And to bolster the book, they were going to have on Kate Batten, who is one of the liars of Columbine. And you mentioned the grand jury. Well, 3 days after Columbine, the 20 top-ranking authorities in Jefferson County, including the district attorney, the county attorney, the assistant district attorney, the sheriff, different investigators, they held a secret and illegal meeting where they decided what evidence they would destroy and what evidence they would withhold.
Hmm.
And that meeting was exposed through a grand jury report 5 years later, and there is no question whatsoever that Kate Batten was running a lot of this cover-up. She was clearly lying in court. She knew what evidence there was, and she testified that it wasn't there. And we asked the court to sanction Jefferson County, but at every turn, the court decided not to, even though this was perjury.
So the Oprah show managed, the producers managed to invite the people who were involved in the cover-up, who would never expose the truth of what was known, what should have been done, what gross negligence, and then the lies afterward compound how horrific this was, especially when we realized that the nation was critical of the sheriff of Jefferson County, John Stone.
Right.
Seemingly doing nothing for as the minutes turn to hours, and he's sitting in a command center outside of the high school, and there's reason to believe they were assessing what they had known about Harris and Klebold before the crime.
Oh, there's no question they were.
Was their conflict of interest. Instead of being concerned about saving a teacher and saving the kids who are injured, they're trying to figure what guilt and responsibility they have for gross negligence. That's why it seems to me they were stymied. They did nothing for a horrendously long period of time.
Well, that's true. The district attorney, Dave Thomas, actually hand-delivered all the documents they had on Klebold and Harris to that command center. And we have reports from Lakewood Police Department of officers pounding on the door, which was locked, of the command center, trying to get a mission to do something. Mm. These are written reports. And these guys were inside, John Stone, Dave Thomas, and I believe Kick Bush, who was one of the other high-ranking officials involved in the cover-up. Mm. They were in this command center trying to figure out what they could do to cover their backside. And kids were inside the school. Mm. Injured and needing medical help immediately.
We have another 2 minutes. The principal, Frank DeAngelis, he's still the principal. There was an internal investigation paid for by tax dollars.
There absolutely was, about what happened at Columbine, what the culture was that led up to it, and what the school knew and what was documented about the danger of Klebold and Harris.
This is the Jefferson County Public School System.
Right.
They did the investigation, and has Frank DeAngelis ever sided with the families and asked for this to be made public?
Not to my knowledge, and I have cornered him on public radio, asking him to do that very thing, to publicly come out and tell everything he knows and ask the school district to release this to help prevent other school shootings. And guess what? They won't do it. He won't do it, and they argue that it's attorney-client privilege, even though we paid for this investigation.
What an insult to the public, let alone the families of the victims, for the school system, the public school system, to say, we can't release this. This is attorney-client privilege. It's their investigation of what they knew and should have known before the murders happened, and they have the gall to make that kind of an excuse. It's just one horrendous wickedness after another.
Well, it certainly is, and I have great appreciation, and I'm very thankful that Oprah Winfrey had the courage and the wisdom to yank this show on the 20th, and now to make the public commitment that it will never be aired, that the lies these people were telling will not be aired, and that this book, which is based almost entirely on half-truths and lies, will not get the additional sales of millions of copies that would have come from her promotion.
Yeah, for years now, Oprah's show has been the number one promoter of books published in this country. And so this author, we haven't mentioned him or his book title. We don't want to promote it.
That's why I haven't mentioned it. And he's not worth mentioning. He honestly isn't. I've talked to him many times. Mm-hmm. And really, he had to go out of his way to write the lies that he wrote.
Wow. So we will link to those programs with Randy Brown and Brian Rohrbaugh, never-before-heard recordings of the Columbine murders. So, Brian, thank you for explaining all this on the air today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what an honor to have Brian Rohrbaugh on the show. And he is, of course, the president of American Right to Life. If you haven't gone to their website recently, you'll want to go. Just on the homepage of American Right to Life, there are such extraordinary stories, videos. You'll want to go there to support Brian's work, AmericanRightToLife.org. I want to thank you for tuning in to Bob and Yurt Live. Our website is KGOV.com. This Friday, big event in my life. I'll be telling you about that later in the week, or you can look at our website, KGOV.com. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada. And if you're interested in any of the Bob and Yurt Live Bible study albums or DVDs, please call us, 800-8-N-YURT. We could use your help keeping the show on the air, 800-836-9278.